Is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Later on Building Bridges, the biggest immigration raid yet. But first, John McCain has been exploiting his prisoner of war experience every chance he gets. But now a veteran who was a prisoner with McCain in Vietnam is explaining loud and clear that being a POW does not qualify McCain to lead our country. Dr. Philip Butler knew McCain as a fellow POW. Here's what he has to say about John McCain.
I went to the United States Naval Academy from 1957 to 1961, graduated in the top quarter of my class. I was awarded two Silver Stars, two Bronze Stars, two Legions of Merit, and two Purple Hearts. I think I can say with authority that the prisoner of war experience is not a good prerequisite for a president of the United States. Hell, I'm 70 years old and I've lived through being a prisoner of war. I'm going to tell it like it is. Went to Vietnam in early 1965 for a combat cruise. Got shot down April the 20th of 1965 and was able to escape and evade after I was shot down at night for 4 days and nights, at which time I was captured and became prisoner of war. John McCain arrived in October of 1967, and so I was there 2.5 years before he was. The treatment changed in fall of 1969 when Ho Chi Minh died and a new group came into power who were pragmatists, and they stopped the nasty treatment for the most part. But John has allowed, I think, the media to make him out to be the POW, the hero. And in fact, there were over 600 just like him who performed just as well. The data show that the prisoner of war group are dying at an earlier age, and that we suffer lots of residual things that non-POW group really doesn't have to deal with. And it's imperative that we have someone who is healthy and can stand the rigors of that job. So I started having friends I play golf with and friends in other aspects in the community service that I'm involved in here in Monterey Peninsula, and family members, and everybody coming up to me and say, "Hey, you knew John McCain. What do you think of him?" Well, most of my experience with him was living across the hall from him, and he was well known by his own classmates and everybody that knew him as a very volatile guy, and he would blow up and go off like a Roman candle at any possible time. He was very sensitive and touchy and just easy to anger. The world is such a dangerous place, and he has shown himself already to be bellicose with regard to making other wars in other places, in Iraq and threatening Iran. And John McCain is not somebody that I would like to see with his finger near the red button. It has been very disappointing to watch him pander to his various political bases and change his stances on things. For example, even his stance on religion. I knew him many years ago, and John was very apathetic about religion. And now, all of a sudden, he's become an evangelical so that he can bring in that base. I'm very disappointed in that because that's not the John McCain that I thought I knew at the Naval Academy, but obviously it's John McCain that exists today. John McCain's temperament makes it clear that he's not cut out to be President of the United States.
Psst, do something.
Dr. Philip Butler on John McCain was produced by Robert Greenwald and the Brave New Pack team.
A la luz de la aurora, lo que tanto aclamamos, la noche al caer, sus estrellas, sus trans estrellas.
Himno, such a beautiful, stark pathos that evoked from listening to that version of the Star-Spangled Banner, but it is not the reality of the state of affairs of immigration issues within this country. In another large-scale workplace immigration crackdown, federal officials raided a factory detaining upwards of 600 workers they claimed were in the country illegally. This was the largest immigration raid in recent history.
Numerous agents from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement descended on a factory belonging to Howard Industries, Inc., which manufactures electrical transformers, among other products. Bill Chandler, the executive director of the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance, speaks to us now from Laurel, Mississippi. I know that almost 600 workers were arrested. Could you tell us what's happening with them right now and what's the status of their families? Let's just see where they are right now.
ICE says 595 workers were arrested. Out of that, about 100 were released with the ankle bracelet monitoring devices that are put on people that are under house arrest. And in effect, they are under house arrest. There were several women who were pregnant that were released without those devices. And the majority of the victims of the raid have been transported to Jena, Louisiana, which I'm sure you remember from the struggle last year to defend the young black students who were arrested. But in Jena, there's a privately operated detention facility that's run by ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and that's where most of the detainees are housed. And we've gotten calls from people inside complaining about the conditions, that they're extremely overcrowded, that they're in unsanitary conditions, and that they're having trouble sleeping on the floor. There's not enough room for people to sleep, and they haven't had a change of clothes since they were arrested. In addition, there were 8 people that were charged with aggravated identity theft, who were brought into the U.S. District Court house in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and were trotted out, and evidence was shown on a screen against them. But they have not really been charged yet, even though they have been arrested for alleged identity theft. They are being housed in the Pearl River County Jail in Poplarville, Mississippi, which in our state is best known as the site of the last public lynching of an African-American inmate in 1959. But that also was the site of a significant Ku Klux Klan rally that attracted over 100 people and contributed to the very xenophobic atmosphere that exists here in Mississippi, which made it possible for the legislature to pass a very bad bill to augment the federal laws, but would force employers to use e-verify, and then if workers were arrested for working without authorization, they could be convicted, and upon conviction, serve from 1 to 5 years in jail and have a fine from $1,000 to $10,000 imposed on them. So this is the atmosphere that we're in, and this is what is happening to these workers here in Mississippi. Needless to say, there's children and spouses and other loved ones that are involved, and we have been working alongside other organizations to interview each of the families and try to get an idea of what their needs are, because with their breadwinners gone, they're going to have a serious problem in maintaining their families and homes and get food and other things.
Tell us a little bit more about Howard Industries as an employer, how many people work there, the context really for this raid. Of course, we know in Postville there had been a huge raid, but this is almost double the size and certainly the largest raid in recent memory. So do go into a little bit more about who the employer is, and out of the numbers of people working there, how many of them are essentially Latino workers?
Well, Howard Industries is a very large employer in Mississippi, and it's a family-owned operation. They employ around 4,000 workers in plants not only in Mississippi but in other parts of the country. And they manufacture electrical equipment along with other things, but that particular plant manufactures the transformers that go on telephone poles in electrical utilities throughout our country. And in listening to the reports about the effects of the hurricane here, there's always talk of transformers exploding. So not only in hurricanes, but in tornadoes and severe thunderstorms, transformers go out all over the country, and Howard is the largest producer of transformers. They also received a grant when they took over two plants, including the one in Laurel that was formerly operated by Magnetech Corporation, which was a runaway company years ago from New Jersey, came to Mississippi, workers organized a union here, and then they went off to Mexico to run away from the union. And to their surprise, the Mexican workers organized as well. But meantime, Howard got a grant to take over those plants to create jobs, allegedly the grant from the state. And they lobbied very hard with former Governor Ronnie Musgrove, who's now a Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate. And then when they got their grant, they maintained a very cozy relationship with our current Governor Haley Barbour to maintain the money that's coming in from the state legislature.
Before the raid took place, I know that your website mentioned that numerous raids might take place. What's the atmosphere right now for that? And also, why did this raid take place? Apparently, this was based upon a tip that was given 2 years ago.
Well, we don't know if that's really true. They're saying that. I think there's a lot of factors involved in this raid. And, you know, a lot of it originates with the work that we're doing as the Mississippi Immigrant Rights Alliance. We're probably one of the few immigrant advocacy groups that was based in the African-American community. The president of our organization is an African-American state representative and also a union organizer named Jim Evans. And he's in the legislature and has led, you know, some struggles over the years against privatization, among other things. And he has been one of the strongest advocates for immigrants in the legislature here. We see with the growth of the African-American community here, between 35% and 40% of the population, and a very significant growth of immigrants, not only Latinos, but Asians, particularly South Asians and Chinese that are here, that there could be a major change in the political power relationship in Mississippi when the demographics change so that the state is a majority people of color state. And we have been working with the African-American community and the immigrant community to join together to try to achieve some semblance of political power and economic power for people of color in the state. And I think that is one of the reasons that a couple of years ago, initiated by our now Lieutenant Governor Phil Bryant, they began a campaign of xenophobia against immigrants. He made it the centerpiece of his campaign, and it resulted in this state law that was passed. And I don't think it's any accident at all that there was a raid of this magnitude in Mississippi, particularly given the fact that since the failure of the comprehensive immigration reform, that the Bush administration has led raids on many other places. Most of the places that they have raided, from Swift to Postville to the raids in North Carolina to the raids here, were on plants where either workers were organizing, like at Smithfield in North Carolina, or already had unions. And in this case, and it, you know, although the union was very weak, they were attempting to build power in anticipation of contract negotiations at Howard Industries. And I don't think it's an accident that all of these plants have been raided. I don't think it's an accident that, you know, there's been such a tremendous campaign of racism and xenophobia in Mississippi. I think the real target is the effort to connect the communities here and try to blunt the efforts of people of color gaining political and economic power. And the stated purpose of the bill that was passed in the Mississippi legislature by the sponsor, or the author of the bill, Senator Michael Watson, a white Republican from the Gulf Coast, was he wants to scare immigrants out of Mississippi.
You know, one of the things that I heard, if you can just tell me if this is correct, is that the ICE patrols also set up roadblocks near the Walmart in Hattiesburg to check people's status, legal status in this country. Is that also something that you've heard about?
Yeah, there's been many, many reports. There's a Walmart at a major intersection in Hattiesburg, and they didn't set up roadblocks. What they did was hide in the bushes and look for cars containing brown people, and then they would rush out and pull them over. And they've gone through Walmart's parking lots many times. They have not gone into the stores, but they have gone through Walmart's parking lot many times, and particularly leading up to the raid that took place in Laurel, which is about 36 miles from Hattiesburg, this was going on. There was a situation at one of the poultry plants called Southern Hen, where, you know, a large number of people work, where on the morning of the raid at Howard, Jones County Sheriff's, which is the county that Laurel is in, showed up and blocked the entrance after the shift began. And when workers saw that and they heard about it from other workers who drove up and turned away from the entrance, they wanted to leave the plant. The company called everybody together and told them that they couldn't leave the plant. If they did, then they would be fired. But what it was in that particular instance, it was a miscue on the part of the Jones County Sheriff, as it turned out. I guess they thought that ICE was going to raid the place and they were going to help them, but that did not occur. But there's been other incidences at other poultry plants in the general vicinity where ICE has been around. In one case, another case, a shift was scheduled to get off at 11 at night, but because there's been so much fear of arrest and deportation that they had not, you know, a lot of people had not shown up for work that night. And that was another union plant. And when the company shut down the plant at 9:30, workers were leaving, and they saw a number of ICE cars coming towards the plant. And it appeared as if they were getting set up for a raid, but it was thwarted because of the lack of employees for production, so the company shut the plant down.
Let me just also say that it's my understanding that Jones County has the distinction of having or being headquarters for two notorious racist and anti-immigration groups, and that is the Ku Klux Klan and MFIRE, the Mississippi branch of FAIR, the National Anti-Immigration Group. So is that... When Ken mentioned tips, I can't help but thinking that with groups like that around, who needs a tip, they must evoke and provoke the ICE patrols constantly.
I think you're probably right about that. Jones County and the county next to it, Jones County is where Laurel is at, and Forest County, where Hattiesburg is at, those have really been a center of very strong anti-immigrant activity. And that same Ku Klux Klan organized a rally in Tupelo, which is in the far northeast part of Mississippi, the birthplace of Elvis Presley, during the elections last year for state offices, and they attracted like about 500 people to that rally. So, you know, there's been a tremendous amount of activity, and it's generated by the groups in Jones and Forest County that also have a very strong influence within the Republican Party. And the white state representatives from those two counties have been leaders in the effort to curtail immigration in Mississippi with their very bad legislation. What is Senate Bill 2988, which is the new, we call it the Mississippi Ethnic Cleansing Law.
Now, in the Postville raid, the workers were ultimately imprisoned for, sentenced to imprisonment for a term of 6 months before deportation. And, of course, you now have that Mississippi law which could do a similar type of imprisonment. Is there speculation that either one of those might be invoked?
And by the way, if I may, also criminal penalties, which have been brought into play. It's not just deportations and imprisonment, but there's numbers of people who are now being prosecuted on criminal charges.
Well, I think, you know, there was so much outcry about the forced pleas that were imposed on the workers at Postville that ICE has been a little bit slower to, you know, do those kinds of things. And then in Postville, you know, it was a fairly isolated community, and the federal defense attorneys that were brought in, we think, didn't really understand themselves what was going on and followed the lead of the federal prosecutors. Here in Mississippi, the federal defense attorneys that have been lined up to defend the eight people that have arrested seem to be doing what they're supposed to do in attempting to defend those workers. And it's a very different situation, at least for the moment. But the thing is that people really haven't been charged. ICE says that there's more people that will be accused of aggravated identity theft. And so it's, you know, we still don't know exactly what's going to happen. And it's compounded by the hurricane, which has really shut down operations. We had a group of attorneys from a variety of organizations locally and nationally who were to meet with the workers in Jena. But because of the hurricane, you know, the roads up here were clogged with traffic because of people escaping the hurricane on the coast, and then the ICE basically shut down that operation to visitors because of the hurricane.
And just lastly, what is to be done? What can people do from outside of the area, as they did in Postville, to show their concern, to show their support in relationship to these terrifying terror raids that are being conducted in Mississippi?
Well, one thing I think people should know, despite the terrorism, this past Thursday was payday. And initially there were rumors that the company was not going to pay people. Then they said they might pay people. And then they had this very convoluted process that people had to go through, which required at least two trips to Jena, which is 6 hours away from Laurel. So workers that had been let out with the ankle bracelets and their families and families of other people that were inside joined together in an action outside of Howard led by one of our organizers, and they were successful in getting their paychecks. Well, after that, the company started giving other workers the next day, this past Friday, paychecks, and then decided that they would stop in midday. And so another delegation of workers, over 100, mainly women, went with our organizers to make their demand. And one of the great things that happened while they were there, there was a shift change, or at the end of a shift, and many workers came out, mostly African-American, and went up and greeted the women and hugged them and offered solidarity to them and their support. And that particularly with rumors that some workers were applauding the ICE agents' actions inside on Monday, having that kind of solidarity shown to those workers was extremely important, particularly workers that were willing to stand up to make a demand for their pay. So that's the first thing. Messages of solidarity, I think, are important. Acts of solidarity, we're trying to raise money because people are facing rent. It's the beginning of a new month. They have no income. And the Catholic Church in Hattiesburg, the Sacred Heart Catholic Church, is accepting material donations of food and other things, diapers and things like that that people need. We're not asking for clothes, but we're asking for those kinds of things. And secondly, Mira is raising money for the work that we're doing and supporting the legal work. Our attorney has been organizing the delegation of attorneys that are going to Jena and have also been in the federal courthouse, and we're going to need support for the work, but we also need support where we can purchase things that the people need, the families need, who have been, you know, victimized by the raids.
Bill Chandler, Executive Director of the Mississippi Immigrants' Rights Alliance, is there a number that people can call to get in touch with you to do all these things?
I think the quickest thing would be to go on our website. It's yourmira.org. It's yourmira.org. Our phone number's on there. The information about the raids and what we're doing is on there. And also we have a place where if people want to make contributions, they can do it by the Internet. But also our mailing address is there.
Well,
and we really appreciate any kind of support and protest to ICE, to Congressman Benny Thompson, who is chair of the Homeland Security Committee, and to Governor Barbour here in Mississippi. I think protests to those three, to ICE, to Congressman Thompson, and to Governor Barbour, I think are in order.
We will do that, and I'd like to thank you very much for always being there, for being the kind of organizer you are. And we have been speaking with Bill Chandler, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Immigrants' Rights Alliance.
Thank you so much for having us on.
And this has been Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And for more on Building Bridges, you can go to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.blogspot.com. That's www.buildingbridgesradio.blogspot.com.